The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. You know, I've been talking about the benefits of coming to church and why it's important. Not only does the Word tell us to come together, but as Jim said, there's a lot of benefits involved with applying kingdom principles. You know, because again, kingdom principles provide kingdom benefits, right? And so today, we're going to kind of conclude this mini-series with probably one of the most important benefits. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Father, we know that your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what you want it to accomplish. It's right on time, in time, perfect for every situation and circumstance that we come up against. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in wisdom, Father, that we would take in your word and apply it in our walk as we advance your kingdom in this region, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we've said this so many times, but it bears repeating that as we walk in this world, in this day, in this age, in this hour, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's things going on in this world that are very discouraging. They are very depressing. So think about that word depress, you know, pressing you down. Actually the definition of depression is a degree of sadness and despair. You know, to be discouraged is to be deprived of courage, right? And there's a spirit of depression and discouragement out there working overtime, right? Okay. And so when of course I encounter all the people in the world, I see it. And I can tell the difference. We're going to get some blinders. We've actually talked about trying to, because, here I'll come, now you can see me. No. Sorry. I'm never distracted. But think about it. In this world, there are distractions too, right? And so we have to navigate that. And I'm dealing in the world with people, and the more people I deal with, I can tell if they're in Christ or not very quickly. I really can. Or I can tell if they're in Christ and they've been unplugged. You know, when an appliance is unplugged, ain't no power. It's still an appliance. But try to cook your toast in it. Yeah. You can push that thing down all day long. It's just going to stay there. Right? Yeah. It has to be plugged in. We've got to be plugged in, right? Let's start with John. Okay. 16, verse 33. I'm in the Amplified. This is Jesus talking. He says, I've told you these things. And guys, when you take that, he tells you things in his word. He's telling you things in his word. So that in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. How many people know that? Everybody's hand goes up, right? We all know that, right? But be of good cheer. Take courage. Take courage. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. This is Jesus talking, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. So if the King of Kings says this about you, it's true. What you have to do is believe him. Believe that he has done this for you. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. That's the biggest deception I think people get. You know, I got saved. You know, I the ABCs, I admit and acknowledge I needed a Savior. I've sinned. B, I believe Jesus paid the price. He died on the cross for my sin. I've confessed it with my mouth. Praise God, Monty, I'm saved. Everything's going to be perfect now, right? No, you just put a target on your back. The enemy definitely is going to work overtime on you. What are you going to do about it? Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 out of the New Living Translation. This is Paul writing a letter to his protege, right? This is why I remind you, it says, to fan into flames. Anybody start a little fire outside? You know, you get all that grass and stuff. We used to do that all over. I mean, you can't do that anymore. But, you know, when you start a fire in the woods, you got to work with it, especially when it's wet. It used to be wet, Hummo, everywhere. And it was hard to get it started. You had to get it going, right? Fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. How many people have been given spiritual gifts by the Father? Every single one of you. When the Spirit of God's inside of you, He has gifted you. For God has not given, next verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love. This says self-discipline, but a sound mind. A sound mind. If you watch the news too long, you will start to go crazy. How many derailments are we having? Earthquakes, all these things happening, right? We have a sound mind. And those things, the situation, circumstances, don't scare us because we're not scarable. I'm not saying I don't see these things happening. I see them. And my flesh might get up and say, whoa, wait, hey. But my spirit says, hey, have peace in me. Monty, have peace in me. Choose me. Declare some word over this situation, the circumstances you're coming up against. Declare some word, right? When we come to church, we fan each other's flames so that we can be encouraged. You know the best reasons to come to church? To find courage, to be encouraged. You know, I've had people have surgery on a Friday. Guess what? They were here Sunday. I had other people say, I had no idea that person was going to show. I was so encouraged when I saw them. You have no idea how you're encouraging somebody. When you walk in and somebody grabs your hand and says, man, I'm glad to see you, you encourage somebody else, right? When you pray for somebody, you're encouraging them. When we come together and hear God's word and you find out that you're not the only one going through something, you get encouraged, right? Let's keep going. Let's listen. Listen about the word here. We know this parable, but let's look into it a little bit, okay? I'm in Luke 8, 5 through 16. I'm reading out the Amplified. It's going to be a little wordy. So listen, Luke 8, 5 through 16. I'm going to go 5 through 8 here pretty quick. A sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the traveled path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell into the midst of the thorns, and the thorns grew up in it, and it choked it off. And some seed fell into good soil, and it grew up and yielded a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and understand by hearing. Amen. That's us. Verse 9, and when his disciples asked him the meaning of this parable, he said to them, to you it has been given to come progressively to know, to recognize, to understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they're just parables, so that though looking, they may not see, and hearing, they may not comprehend. Verse 11, now the meaning of the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those along the traveled road are people who have heard, then the devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts that they may not believe. Because where do you have to believe? In your heart. They acknowledge me as their Savior and devote, so he's saying they don't. Acknowledge him as Savior and devote themselves to me and be saved and hear and hereafter. They hear it, but they just don't believe. Right? All right. Verse 13, and those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, they receive and welcome it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of trial and temptation, they fall away, they withdraw, and they stand aloof. You can't believe how many people I've talked to that have come, right? And they'll come a little bit, and then something comes up, and then they kind of fall away, and then they fall away. And of course, then their back hurts. Man, and guess what? They show up to me. And they're kind of embarrassed. But they hurt, so they're stuck. What do we do? So they kind of, and they're like, please don't, I hope he doesn't ask me, how you been? Where have you been Sunday morning at 10? And I don't do that, right? But I feel it off of them, you know. And I understand. See, there is a conspiring enemy. I say conspiring because he sets stuff up, right? He works on people. He tries to make them stand aloof by themselves because the enemy knows their strength in numbers. He knows that. So he wants to get separated. You ever seen them, Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom? Remember that? Anybody of that age? You know what I'm talking about. And you watch. Those predators get those, whatever, gazelles and stuff, one by themselves. Uh-huh, yeah. No, we're not that. Verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and their fruit doesn't ripen. It doesn't come to maturity and perfection. There's trials, there's tribulations. Again, as we come together as a unit, as we go through the trial and tribulation together, we can encourage each other, right? So that the focus isn't on the trial and tribulation, but it's on the Lord. Because as we encourage each other in the Lord, guess what? My focus changes. Because Jim said, Monty, I know you're going through that. I'm praying with you. But guess what? There's something better here. He helps me change my focus, right? That's why we come together. Let's listen to the 15. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, they hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. And the first thing I think of is Isaiah, and I didn't give it to you. You don't have to put it up. Isaiah 37:31. They take root downward, and they bear fruit upward. But guys, we have to take root. And every time we come together as a group, we hear the word, right? We hear the word. You're taking root downward. And you know what? When that wind blows hard and those big trees start moving, when those roots are down in there, they don't blow down. They don't blow down. The storm comes, but the roots are down in there so strong that they stand tall. And you know what else? They provide shade and for other trees. They help each other. Is that, you know, kind of following what I'm thinking? You know what I'm saying? Psalm 92. 13 through 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That house of the Lord in the Hebrew, I can't say those words, but it is the structure. It's talking about being planted in a place. When I talk about the church, I am talking about the people. Because when the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you are the church, right? But being planted in the house, there's something that happens when you are called to be planted in the house, in this house, right? What happens? You flourish in his court. That's why I talk about being planted in the right place is vital. It's vital. It's important. And I'm not saying we can't hear sermons. Guys, I listen to sermons. I know what Pastor Bert's preaching. I listen to him. But I'm not planted in his house. Do I get benefit from hearing the word he's preaching? Amen, I do. Praise God. But I'm planted in this house. And I'm going to flourish in this climate, in this region, because this is where I'm supposed to be. Amen? Be planted where you're supposed to be. Because I guarantee you, there's blessings and encouragement that comes from being planted there. And look what it says. They shall bear fruit in old age. Praise God. I'm not there yet, but I'm going. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Fresh and flourishing sounds like pretty encouraged, huh? Right? And then verse 15, look what it says. Yeah, they're following me. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteous in him. Listen, we do these things so we can do what? Declare. See, we get encouraged. We come together. We're planted together, right? We're planted together. We're bearing fruit. And what ends up happening? Out of the abundance of my heart, guess what's happening? My mouth starts to speak. And I start declaring things over this region. I start declaring things over you and over your household and over your kids. and over your ranches. I do. I make all kinds of declarations for you. Why? Because we're in the house. Amen? Verse 16 of Luke. I still didn't finish Luke. I just put those in there. All right. Verse 16. No one, after he has lighted a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a dining table couch. But he puts it on a lampstand that those who come in may see the light. Do you know how many people have come to my office and said, how do you fit all those folks in that little in that church? They actually call it a little building because all the cars. They see the light coming out of here. They see the light of hungry hearts. They see the light of people out there talking and encouraging each other with Bible studies and the different things that are going on. They see the light. Why? Because it's been planted, the word has been planted in good soil and it's growing and people see the growth. Amen? They see the growth personally in you. How many people, like I said, my friends, my close friends have seen growth in me. Yeah. I mean, and I guarantee it's so funny, and I've said this before, but you know, one of my buddies, you know, forever, he says, do those people know you? You sound so calm up there. I said, praise God, I've been saved. I've been saved. I am calm. What are you talking about calm? People will see the change in you because God is patiently changing you. He is growing you into what he's called you to be. But he plants you in the house so that you'll be encouraged in that growth. Right? Because you need to hear that. You need to be encouraged. Guys, I don't want anybody ever leaving here going, oh man, I didn't know how bad I was till the preacher told me. No. No. You're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are because that's what the word says. Amen? Amen. Yeah, there's a devil out there. He's the one trying to discourage you. He's trying to depress you. I'm here to encourage you so you'll take courage in the Lord. Right? You'll take it. Apply it and advance his kingdom in you first and then in your gifting and calling. Because guess what? You get to help somebody else. Go to 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. King David again. Have we heard King David? You know who he is? Yeah. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 in the Amplified. David was greatly distressed. Has anybody ever been distressed in a distressing situation? Yep. For the men spoke of stoning him. Which men? His own men. Huh? Yeah. Because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. They'd had loss, and they were blaming David. But look what David did. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know why he had to strengthen himself? Because nobody else was doing it. They were wanting to kill him. If he was able to strengthen himself, which you can do, amen. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you're out there, hey, I better do something because that spirit of discouragement is coming on me. I better take some courage. And it happens to be Wednesday afternoon, so I can't come to church Sunday because it's Wednesday afternoon. I got to wait like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Cool. No, right there where you're at. Take courage yourself. But be looking forward to Sunday when you come to the house and you can give a testimony of, yeah, I felt that coming on me. But you know what I did? I listened to a sermon. I read God's word. I read the scripture where it said, if God is for me, who can be against me? Praise God. I took my scripture confession book. There's lots of them out there. Just take them. I started reading confessions. And when you start telling somebody what you did on Wednesday afternoon, when you tell them on Sunday morning, they're encouraged too. Praise God. Because they're going through something too. I've heard that many times. Monty, I'd love to come to church with you, but all of you guys have it together there, and my life's a mess. You don't know the things I know. And I'm talking about myself. Guys, we all have that flesh Jim was talking about. We're all going through stuff. But it's how we go through it. And it's who we go through it with. That makes all the difference. I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. We are herd animals, people. I want to be in the fun herd. I do. Man. Romans 12, verse 7, NLT. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches to his teaching. Verse 8. He who exhorts and encourages to his exhortation. You know, we got a lot of people in here that have a gift of encouragement. I promise you. Look around. If you hang around about 10 minutes before and after, they'll come find you. Man. Let him do it. To he who contributes, let him do it with simplicity and liberality. He who gives, aids, and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with general cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Guys, all those gifts are listed there. And you know where you find all of them? In the house. You do. Because God put those puzzle pieces together to make a beautiful picture just for you. He did that. I'm doing good. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Do you know how many scriptures I had for this sermon? You know, when I wanted to get encouraged, all his words about encouragement. The whole Bible's chock full of encouragement. Ephesians 5, 15 through 19. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully. That means on purpose, with a purpose. And worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Verse 16. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Those days are here. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. You can know his will. You can. His will is his word. Amen. All right. Verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. When we do this together, you get encouraged. When I miss church, because sometimes I have to, I miss church. I miss it. I miss it. I miss that stimulation. I miss us. I miss the silly jokes. I do. I'm not lying, God. I do. I miss the house. I miss the family. I miss seeing all y'all. Why? Because you encourage me. I've said that many times. Y'all encourage me way more than I encourage you. I can promise you that. And I appreciate it. It's vital. We all have a part to play. Every single one of us. See, did you know that God speaks to you? He can speak to you in dreams. And if you didn't know that, we can go through the Bible. I mean, it's all there, right? Well, the other day, Dad had a dream, and in that dream, I hope you don't mind me sharing, I am anyway. All he came is the Lord was telling him, Isaiah 14:32. Okay, John, Isaiah 14:32, I'm sorry. Throwing a curveball at the poor kid. Hey, you got the rat hat on, he's got his baseball hat on, he's ready to go. Isaiah 14:32, the NLT, John, and just... I'll start talking for a while. I'll give you cover. But he had this dream, and literally, it was just that verse, right? God was telling you that verse. And so he calls me and says, hey, if you, what does this mean? They'll get it. Don't worry. Isaiah 14:32 out of the NLT, I'm going to read it that way. And no, God didn't tell him the version. I read them all. But this is the one I'm going to explain. And Dad said, he said, if you know what that means, tell me. Okay. You can read above, but listen to what it says. What should we tell the Philistine messengers? Now, the Philistine messengers, that's the enemy. What should we tell the enemy? What should we tell the enemy? Look what he says. The Lord has built Jerusalem. Its walls will give refuge to his oppressed people. Yeah. One of the things that we've been saying, God told me a long time ago that this region would be a refuge. That's the word he used, refuge. That's not a word I would use. When I think of refuge, I think of Maxwell. The refuge, you know, the bird refuge, right? I mean, you know, that's the only thing I think about. But God said it would be a refuge, okay? We talk about this region being our Jerusalem. The Lord has built this house. He built this house. Because I didn't have anything to do with it. Literally, I just followed along. Like a little puppy dog. I just, okay. Right? He built this house. Okay? Its walls will give refuge to those being afflicted. That's what that oppressed means. Guys, we're all afflicted with stuff. Okay? With hurt. Right? With cares of this world. Financial. You know, some dependency stuff, relationship stuff, flesh stuff, right? We're all afflicted. But he's giving refuge. And I'm telling you, he built this house for that purpose. Amen? Because this place needed it. And I'm sure other places did too. This place needed it. I needed it. You needed it. Amen? You know why he gave that verse to you? Because he knew I was going to preach this today. Right? That's the word we've been given. So as this world gets goofy and balloons and trains and tigers and bears, oh my. Right? Chemicals and air pollution and viruses and blah, 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 blah. Right? There needs to be a refuge in a house of the Lord where we can be planted and we can bear some fruit, shine some light so people can know where to go as refuge, because refugees are seeking refuge. Why? Because something bad's happening and they need a safe place of peace and confidence. Well, who provides that? He does. But you get to choose. Am I going to be planted? Right? I've had other people say, you know, we've been going to lots of different churches, and that's fine. You have to go to say, Lord, lead me. What am I supposed to do? I understand that. And they said, well, we like this about this. We like that about that. Here, let me just break it down for you. You're not going to like everything in here. Another news flash. I don't like everything in here. Certain songs sometimes, I'm like, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to make a joyful noise. But you're the pastor. I know. They slip them in every once in a while. But I guarantee those songs make somebody happy. Yeah. And they encourage somebody. Yeah. And they like that kind of music. Yeah. Right? Exactly. Praise God. Praise God. It's okay. Some people don't like the color of the chairs. Well, you know what? Praise God. I'm glad I'm not sitting in a hard pew. Yes. Amen, right? You may not like everything, but when you know you're planted, when you know God has said, this is where you're going to be, you're going to flourish. You will flourish. You will flourish because you're going to hear the word here. You're going to hear the word. You're going to get encouraged, right? And that person who invited you and said, oh, come on with me, come on. You're finally going to look at them and say, thanks. Those goofy people are kind of fun. God calls us peculiar people. Well, we are peculiar. Why? Because we're going to take courage and take joy amongst a world that's goofy. It is. But we're going to take courage and take joy because we know we have a higher purpose and a higher calling in this region because of who called us and the equipping we've been given. Right? So when we have these trials and tribulations, we take courage. We are encouraged. When we come together Sunday mornings, we laugh and joke and we hug each other and love each other. We know we're praying for each other. We know we're together as a team. And when stuff hits the fan, you know somebody's going to be there. You notice I said stuff. Because I'm reformed. Right? Because we're real with each other, right? Because things happen, guys. There are trials, there are tribulations, but going through it together, I guarantee you, is how God designed it to happen. Remember, he has an organized way of doing things. And he has plans. And here's the thing. If you think God gives the pastor all the plans, you're crazy. He gives me a part. I'm kind of the catcher of different parts. And I take all the parts and I throw them on the table and somebody else says, oh, that fits here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. And pretty soon things come together and then the plan gets laid out. Praise God. But if I didn't have all the pieces, all the people coming together, praying and encouraging and doing their part, I would never get the plan. See, we are a team. Every person doing their part so we advance his kingdom. We need everybody in here. Everybody. Everybody. God has not forgotten you. Be encouraged.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Well, lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace.